All right, welcome back to KMBR Tonight. Carrie Crowley here with you, and I'm joined now by our next guest, Maria Gordado. She covers the San Francisco Giants for MLB.com. Maria was out at the press conference at Oracle Park earlier today with Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler. Maria, thanks so much for your time this evening.
No problem, Carrie.
Looking forward to this conversation. I think that the best place to start is with the comments that both Farhan and Gabe had for Buster Posey. We were there on Thursday night in the dugout when Buster Posey seemed to express some hesitancy about wanting to commit for the 2022 season. But it sounded as if today that Gabe and Farhan were very convinced that Buster would play a big part in this team's plans moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think they were kind of asked point blank, you know, whether they expect to pick up Posey's $22 million club option for next year. And, you know, Farhan basically responded by saying that he thought Buster Posey was the best catcher in baseball this year. So I think that just tells you everything you need to know about, like, you know, the confidence that they have in him, not only with what he can bring kind of from an offensive standpoint, but also just from a leadership standpoint. He's obviously kind of like the heart and soul of the team. So, yeah, I mean, obviously they would love to have him back, but I think the ball's kind of in his court right now. I mean, I think we've all seen that, you know, he cares deeply about his family, and he's kind of willing to put his career on hold to you know, attend to them if necessary. We saw that last year. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that we should know fairly soon, you know, which way he's leaning, just because they're going to have to make a decision on his option within, I believe, 5 days of the end of the World Series. So, yeah, I mean, it should be interesting.
Yeah, outside of Buster Posey, there's a lot of uncertainty and some very difficult decisions. And we'll get to the rotation, which Farhan said was the number one priority for the Giants. But kind of the two bigger names right now, Brandon Belt and Chris Bryant, both pending free agents. The Giants have expressed interest in bringing Belt back. And Chris Bryant expressed interest earlier in the summer in coming back. How do you gauge those two players' chances of returning to San Francisco next season?
Yeah, so, you know, just hearing how Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler talk about Brandon Belt, I mean, it's pretty clear that they think like, really highly of him. You know, I think that Kapler has said in the past that he actually thinks that Belt could get better, and that's, you know, kind of interesting considering Belt's already, you know, kind of in his mid-30s and, you know, hasn't shown kind of his full offensive potential just because he's kind of struggled to put together a full, healthy 162-game season. So, I think they think really highly of him, and I think that the odds of him sticking around are probably higher than Bryant, just because, you know, Brandon Belt just kind of is the poster child for their offensive philosophy, and I think they kind of saw how much they missed him just down the stretch when he obviously went down with that thumb fracture, and, you know, offense ended up being kind of hard to come by in the postseason, and, you know, you could really feel that void of that big bat in the middle of their lineup. With Chris Bryant, yeah, I mean, we all kind of thought that he was the perfect fit for their roster when they acquired him at the trade deadline. But, you know, he was a little kind of underwhelming, you know, just like, you know, and you know, in all fairness, it was a pretty small sample size, you know, 50 or 60 games. But, I mean, he's going to be a guy who's going to be commanding a huge paycheck in free agency, Scott Boras' client. And it hasn't really been the Giants' style to kind of, you know, get into a bidding war over a free agent. I think that one of the reasons they've been so successful is because they've been, you know, they can find value and then, you know, kind of people who are more under the radar or kind of overlooked. So, yeah, it's going to be, yeah, it will be interesting to see how Chris Bryant's market develops this offseason, especially just with the looming CBA, which is set to expire December 1st. You know, no one's really sure what's going to happen with that. So that couldn't be something that also impacts his market and just maybe prolongs his free agency. So I think that, you know, if I had to guess, I would say that, you know, I think Belt has probably a higher chance of returning than Bryant does at this point.
You know, it's so fascinating. Back on July 30th, when the Giants acquired Chris Bryant, Brandon Belt had been hurt for 6 weeks and hadn't really been heard from. And Chris Bryant was talking all about how excited he was to play for the Giants, how in the first few days of being a member of this organization that he was eager to have the opportunity to potentially extend his career here. And 2 months later, we're talking about Brandon Belt still being hurt just with a different injury. Yet that two-month window, I think we saw peak Brandon Belt there, Maria. And for the Giants, you know, Farhan and Scott, they can find guys who can play first base, but we also saw peak Brandon Belt, not just from an offensive perspective, from what he brought to the clubhouse. I'm not sure I've seen a player who was more confident as a leader than what we saw from Brandon Belt in August and September.
Yeah, of course. And I think that, you know, that's emblematic of that is just this whole captain shtick, right? You know, I think we really saw kind of his sense of humor maybe peek through a little bit more. You know, than we would, you know, we're not in the clubhouse anymore. So, you know, we we weren't like that exposed to it, but I think obviously just the way he kind of took on that persona and, you know, went along with their like a rookie, you know, dress up day when he was the captain and everyone else was dressed up as like their sailors. Yeah, I think it really did a lot for the club, just keeping everyone loose. And yeah, I mean, he's someone who obviously is homegrown. I mean, he's always been a Giant. So I think that probably, you know, I'm sure he feels like an attachment to this organization, to the city. And, you know, obviously he's done a lot here, but I'm sure he would like to do more. So yeah, he's going to be an interesting case to watch, especially if they, you know, extend him a qualifying offer, which I think is $18.4 million this year. So, you know, I could see him potentially accepting that, or maybe they work out something a little bit, you know, longer term than that. But yeah, I think that there seems to be some momentum kind of building towards a reunion there.
Talking with Maria Gordato of MLB.com. She was out at the Oracle Park press conference today for Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler, wrapping up the regular season and the postseason for the Giants. And Maria, Farhan did say that his number one priority this offseason would be pitching, would be rebuilding this rotation. And the Giants have Logan Webb back under contract. Everyone else potentially set to hit free agency as soon as the Giants buy out Johnny Cueto's option for 2022. Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani, Alex Wood. Who do you like the most of that group to return to San Francisco?
Ooh, I guess if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Kevin Gausman, just because he's someone who is another person who's kind of just spoken highly of the city. And, you know, he obviously loves working with Buster Posey. I know he already has a close friendship with Logan Webb, too. You know, they have, like, kind of a good relationship going on. So it seems like if I had to pick one, he would probably seem to be the guy who would be most likely to return, especially since, I mean, he's pretty much enjoyed kind of the two best years of his career here. So I think that he feels like he's found a home, and, you know, obviously the Giants have kind of unlocked something in him with getting him to kind of, you know, throw, you know, mostly fastballs and splitters. But, you know, it is interesting because obviously, you know, he was so good in the first half and then he kind of took a step back after the All-Star break. You know, it'll be interesting to see how much money they're kind of and how many years they're willing to commit to him. At this stage in his career, I believe he's 30, so he's still on the younger, I guess, side. But yeah, I mean, I think that they're definitely going to need some depth behind Logan Webb. They do have some internal options, but none of them are particularly established aside from Webb. You know, you have Tyler Beattie, Sammy Long. Maybe, you know, you get a look at Sean Jelly or one of those guys in the rotation. But no, I mean, it's definitely going to be an area that they're definitely going to have to bolster. You know, I mean, that's an important area for any team, but especially a team that, you know, is going to be attempting to continue to contend moving forward. So, yeah.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, I will definitely be interested to see what they do there.
Yeah, I think that when we've talked about the Giants and their approach to roster building in this offseason, we have talked about how the hitting coaches and Donnie Ecker and Justin Vealy and Dustin Lind have transformed, you know, this team's philosophy and this team's offensive approach at Oracle Park. They're not, you know, scared of this ballpark anymore. They can hit home runs here, but you can take things on the flip side and say that pitchers could look at what Kevin Gausman and Anthony DeSclafani and Alex Wood have done in a Giants uniform and say that maybe Andrew Bailey and JP Martinez, maybe these are, you know, coaches who you can come and play for and reestablish yourselves and reestablish the market. How much do you think that Farhan and Scott are betting on that going into the offseason as opposed to just going out and signing guys with great track records who are established, or trading for guys who are young, up and coming, but have already had success at the major league level in a major way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely helps their cause, right? I mean, I think that players around the league are probably definitely paying attention to what the Giants are doing. And I think they kind of understand that, you know, the Giants and San Francisco in general is probably a place that you can go to get better. And yeah, I mean, I think the coaches are obviously a big part of that. You know, in addition to Andrew Bailey and JP Martinez, there's Brian Bannister, who's really, really highly regarded with his work with, you know, pitch design, pitch shapes. He really understands all that. And I think, you know, Anthony DeSclafani has credited him with, you know, helping him to get his hard slider back. And, you know, there's just like, there are a lot of examples now that the Giants can kind of point to. You got, even before the season, I mean, you had, you know, Drew Pomeranz and Drew Smiley and those guys. So, yeah, I mean, it is they do have kind of like a good track record now that they can use to kind of try to lure a lot of those free agent pitchers who might be looking for a place to bounce back. So, yeah, I mean, it can only help.
Well, I think that the most difficult questions that Farhan and Scott and Gabe are going to be pressed to answer this offseason are in the outfield. You know, you've got guys in Mike Yastrzemski, Austin Slater, Steven Duggar, Alex Dickerson, who have all been very productive at different points of their Giants careers. And yet, you know, this is an organization that's talked about continuity and talked about buy-in, but you also can see from the outside that the Giants may have opportunities to go and upgrade their personnel. They may value having an outfielder with more minor league options who can be sent down and shuttled back and forth between Sacramento. What do you think this outfield equation looks like moving forward? Are there guys who they definitely build around, maybe a Lamont Wade Jr., and are there guys who maybe surprisingly could be let go off of this 40-man roster this offseason?
Yeah, I think there's going to be probably a mix of all that. I mean, I think that, you know, there's definitely going to be guys who are going to kind of be you know, kind of your big players in the outfield, like Wade, like Yaz, I would expect to be back. And you know, I think that, you know, with Slater and Dickerson, who are more like role players, like there's a little bit more of a question mark simply because, you know, I think Alex Dickerson will be due something in the neighborhood of like $3 million in arbitration. So, and he obviously was kind of underwhelming this year. So, you know, I think he's probably a non-tender candidate. If you look at Slater, he's also eligible for arbitration. I think he's due somewhere around $2 million, which I think the Giants would pick up. But, you know, he's obviously, I think he's going to be out of options next year. And this is a team that obviously really, you know, loves flexibility. So you do kind of wonder a little bit about his future, you know, his you know, future contributions. And then, you know, I think someone who's gotten a little bit forgotten in all this is Mauricio Dubon, who, you know, we're all kind of viewing as like the you know, the main center fielder this year. And then he kind of got just buried in the depth chart with, you know, just the years that Duggar and Estrada had. But, you know, he's still someone who could just very much in the mix. I believe he saw his options. So he could definitely be someone who kind of, you know, comes up and kind of tries to reestablish himself as a you know, big contributor on this club. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, interesting. You know, we know how this team works. You know, it's always trying to kind of keep its options open and trying to, you know, maximize its flexibility. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were some moves that this team made to just kind of try to shore up its depth and, you know, create more options, more competition. You know, there's also, you know, Luis Gonzalez, I believe, who they acquired from the White Sox and put on the 60-day IL, who I think is coming off a torn labrum. So I'm not exactly sure what his health status is going to be, but he's someone who's probably also going to be in the mix for some reps at some point. So, yeah, I mean, there are going to be a lot of options, but, you know, there could be some guys who are kind of cycling in and out just depending on the needs of the team and, you know, what they view as their best options going forward.
All of that to me sounds like competition in spring training that we'll end up following very closely. Maria Gordado of MLB.com, kind enough to join us. And one more question here for you, Maria, before we let you go. You know, you think back to spring training when pitchers and catchers first reported this was a Giants team that was expected to win about 72, 73, 74 games. They end up winning 107, lose the heartbreaker in the NLDS to the Dodgers. Things happen so quickly for this organization. Is this championship window open now? Do we look at 2022 as a season where once again they've got to contend for a division title and a playoff contender and a playoff spot? Or is this going to take a little bit longer in terms of just getting some of their prospects up to the minor leagues? How do you think Farhan and Scott look at this?
I think the expectation is that they're going to be, you know, perennial contenders at this point. You know, I think that just coming off what they did this year, it'd be hard to kind of go into next year not expecting much. I think that the bar has been raised. Right? I mean, I think that, you know, everyone was kind of, you know, probably pleasantly surprised at what they were able to do this year. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think the bar is going to be raised heading into next year. I think the cool thing is that it seems like they're going to try really hard to keep as much of this group together as possible, just given the success that they all had. So I think they're probably going to be, you know, aggressive in free agency and trying to retain, you know, the Gosmans, the Belts, the, you know, those type of guys. In terms of, like, you know, what prospect help might be on the way next year, you know, I don't think we're going to see, like, Marco Luciano, you know, for most of the year. Maybe he makes, you know, an appearance, like, in late September, but I think for the most part, it's probably going to be, you know, most of the guys that we've gotten to know well this year who will maybe count it on to kind of lead that charge. And just looking around the division, I mean, the Dodgers, you know, kind of might be going through a little bit of an air change themselves, you know, if you consider that, you know, Kershaw could be a free agent, Corey Seager's going to be a free agent, you know. So there could be some changes there, but I think that, you know, the expectation for the Giants will be that they will continue to contend for the division title and, you know, maybe potentially meet with the Dodgers again in the postseason, which Logan Webb has already predicted. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they're in a good shape, you know, from an organizational health standpoint. And, you know, this is kind of what, you know, Farhan was brought in to do, is, you know, not to just have kind of like a one good season, is to, you know, build a perennial contender. And, you know, the Giants seem to be there at this point.
Well, absolutely. And we appreciate your perspective. We thank you for your time as always. Maria Guardado, thank you for joining KMBR tonight.
No problem.
All right, a lot more coming up next. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.